Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here to have another conversation I'm hoping helps your business grow. Look, you're listening to the show because you're wanting to build a business or you're in the process of doing it. And as your business gets bigger and older and everything, you'll really begin to understand the importance of internal communication. There's a lot of complexity to that and a hell of a lot of ways to do it poorly, whether you have a two-person company or, like myself, a 235-person company, it can get out of control in a hurry. So we're going to talk about that today. Now, before I introduce today's guest, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. That's my company, and I want to help you do exactly that, build your software team. There's 350,000 open tech jobs in the U.S. right now, and we don't have people to fill them. But I'm going to help you do that. So go to fullscale.io. With me today, I've got Rick Knudsen, and he is the co-founder and CEO of Workshop. Now, if you recently listened to our episode with Omaha's top startups, they're on the list. You can go to useworkshop.com. What is even easier is if you just scroll down, go ahead and do that right now. Scroll on down to the show notes, click the link so you have some reference about what they've built there and everything that Workshop does as we talk about that. And, you know, straight out of Omaha, Rick, welcome to Startup Hustle.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it. Super excited to be here. And thanks for the invite. Excited to chat about internal comms and how we can help some companies improve that. So appreciate the invite.
I'm ready to learn some stuff too. Now, before my lesson begins, and before I publicly shout out all my own misgivings at my internal communication problems that exist at Fullscale. Let's start with a little bit of backstory about you and like why you wanted to provide a solution for this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So before starting this company, which by the way, we're only a year old this month, so pretty exciting birthday month for Workshop. But before Workshop and starting this company, I was running a company that I co-founded with two other partners, a company called Flywheel out of Omaha, Nebraska as well. And that company grew incredibly quick. We were providing website hosting services to creative agencies. So catering to helping agencies build their businesses on our platform, actually a full scale customer. So the ad at the start of the, I can be a testimonial right here and recommend it. So we actually got great value out of that. But what's great is that, you know, as you grow a company, I'm excited to actually have a conversation with you because at 230 employees, I mean, you're seeing some stuff, you're growing fast. I mean, comms becomes super important to keep your teams aligned. And we saw that at Flywheel. So we grew from, you know, just three of us starting the company to about 250 employees over 6 years, you know, so incredibly rapid growth. And then we sold the company a couple of years ago. But because of that, you know, that scaling, you know, we focused a lot of our time and energy and attention on how to effectively align teams using internal communication strategies. So once we were acquired by a larger organization, a company down in Austin, Texas. Once acquired, that company was a little over 1,000 employees. So I saw even a little bit larger of a scaled organization, and they grew quickly as well. And I saw even more challenges when it comes to internal comms. And to be honest, I tend to work on things that I'm passionate about. I started Flywheel because I was a web developer and I wanted to, you know, to solve my own, you know, problems that I was having, like launching these websites. And then, you know, 5 years into building Flywheel, I kind of became pretty passionate about, you know, inspiring internal teams. And I spent a lot of my time doing that. We actually build our own tool sets to kind of manage that and measure some of the results on those types of things. So workshop is kind of the culmination of like that experience. And we like to say at workshop that, you know, a lot of marketers in the world would say they're trying to inspire the most important audience of the company. That's like prospects or customers. And I think it's the employees that we need to focus on. So workshop provides those tools for teams to kind of scale their internal comms and measure the results. And really that's from my own experience doing it at Flywheel.
Yeah. And you know, Flywheel is, I'm going to call you out for being overly humble. We actually did an episode about Flywheel that came out on December 22nd of 2020. It's titled Flywheel, a Midwest Success Story. You guys actually had one of the more notable and larger exits and the corridor that Kansas City and Omaha and, you know, the true flyover country, as many people yes. refer it. And, you know, and that episode, I got sat down with Dusty and Tommy, who I believe were your co-founders there, or at least co-workers.
That's right.
So with that, you know, the rapidly growing company, and by the way, congratulations on all that success and happy birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much. Yeah.
The time, you know, much like children, the business grows up so fast.
It's wild. Like the fact that it's a year later. I mean, I left WP Engine a year ago, and it's crazy how fast time goes. Yeah.
That entrepreneur years are kind of like dog years, you know, like, and they, it can be a plus or minus because 7 years can go by and it feels like a year.
Yes.
Or 1 year can go by and I think you age 7 years is how.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that, like, your point about, you know, Flywheel's success is, you know, we were spoiled in a lot of ways for a lot of years because of the growth, and we had lots of resources and capital. And like, I think the most humbling experience is going back to, you know, starting a new company from
starting again.
Yeah. So I kind of forget the pain. So this last year has been, there's a lot of stories in that too, but yeah, so Flywheel was an awesome, awesome ride. And your point about, you know, the Midwest corridor and just, you know, being in flyover country, you know, in some ways for me, it's always something I, you know, was aspiring to do, is like build a company in the Midwest, prove you can do it, a tech company, scale it, you know, and kind of go against the grain a little bit. And I think the Flywheel was a really great story because of that. And I think workshop can be too.
So you mentioned having, you know, at that point you have 250 employees and you clearly mm-hmm. are understanding and seeing the issues that companies have with internal communication. And then honestly, when the pandemic hit, a lot of communication models just got splintered because, like, for us, you mentioned the timeline. So Full Scale is 4 years old in June. So we're almost like divided in half with pre-pandemic and pandemic. So we went from having like 100, then 200, close to 200 people that were in the same place every day, which is one type, it presents communication ease and also burdens at the same time, because the same communications, it's easier to proliferate fake news. We'll just say fake news, meaning like things, you know, you have to like be aware of other things. Like you don't want to, you got to make sure there's not a poison pill on the well or something.
Yeah. And
now when it comes to electronic communication, digital communication, however you want to call it, that's email, things like workshop, you know, there's a bev, other, you know, Slack, Teams, Skype. Like, I mean, totally. For us, it originally started 10 years ago, like with Skype, the messenger, not even the caller, and like just kind of pinging each other back and forth. And then we got to the point where we had 10 people and we're like, my God, this is a mess.
This is a mess. So, yeah, this is working.
Yeah. So according to my notes, 74% of employees feel that they miss out on companies' information and news. And I'll verify that at our company, because I actually have to, whenever I do updates, you talk about how we communicate. I actually do it through videos. So I send out regular or monthly video updates where I just talk to a camera, you know, and I answer questions or give announcements or stuff like that. But I have to send it. I send it through Slack. I send it through email. I send it a couple different ways, because the only way I can get it in front of everyone is to do it. And I, every time I do it, I'm like, God, there's, you know, got to be a better way with this. And then, you know, I think that also, like, I think most people listening, their goal would be to maybe have a 250 person company. Right. So the faster the trajectory of you getting to that point, usually the bigger the ball of rubber bands you have to unwind at some point. And, you know, I'm kind of in the process of doing that right now. And, you know, and there's, as most people have the same issues, 10 different tools, 10 different things. And then also, like, who's sending what? Anyway, so, like, dude, where do we start here?
Yeah,
like,
you're highlighting a lot of, like, what makes internal comms very interesting in today's world, right? And Plyle had a very similar experience too, where, you know, we built that company with, you know, we started the company about 2012, you know, so we're building a culture in 2012, which is vastly different than it is today, considering the change in the world 2 years ago. And I think that if you were doing anything, you know, exceptionally well before the pandemic and this kind of like hybrid and remote first world, it doesn't translate today necessarily. And even in a hybrid nature, I was just talking to a company that said they went from, you know, about 5% in remote and hybrid work to 25% over the last 2 years, just organically, you know, hiring and backfilling. And that's a vastly different company today. So what's great about that, though, is that, you know, for a company like Workshop, you know, we're focused on how the future of work looks, you know, and I think that digital communication, as you described it, which is kind of how we describe it, is something that you kind of had to do before. You use Slack a little bit, but if you were all in office, you were using all hands or a lot of organic conversations. There's so much stuff that's happening that's just easier to walk over someone's desk. Now, I like to use the word intentionality. You have to be far more intentional about how you're sending out messages, what channels you're using for certain types of messages. And I think that if you weren't focused on this 2 years ago, all of a sudden this became the most important topic in, you know, March, April, 2020 for almost every organization in the world, because they had to figure it out very quickly. You also just mentioned, you know, how do you handle all these different channels and apps and tools that your employees are using? And honestly, that's what we're focused on figuring out with Workshop. So we actually are a tool for internal communications leaders. You know, a lot of companies didn't have that title a few years ago. And the ones that did, I would say, were probably a little bit more advanced than most organizations back then. Now it's pretty rare for a company of 200 employees or larger to not have some function internally that's focused explicitly on disseminating information and aligning teams through comms. So what we're building is a platform that actually allows them to use all those channels that you mentioned in the most effective way, send messages and measure the content. So maybe one area to kind of like dig into a little bit is another thing that we talk a lot about at Workshop is just all channels aren't the same, right? It's, you know, I encourage internal comms leaders or, you know, CEOs or, you know, even HR professionals to think a lot more like marketers. It's actually why we call our platform an internal marketing platform. Because if you're in a marketing mindset, you're thinking about what type of content in what specific channel is the most effective, you know, piece of information for your team. So, so what I'm describing is, you know, you mentioned video. I love video. By the way, for a remote team, it might be the most human form of communication. So highly encourage it. But
it's easier to not be misunderstood in many cases. Cause, having written 3 books, I've learned a lot about the written word and the way it can be received. And there's a lax nature of the way it's interpreted. And for us, because 99% of our employees are in the Philippines, I also have to, they all speak English. Like that's a prerequisite to work at Full Scale, but I also some of that and having worked with people worldwide for, man, 13 years now, you know, the, some of it is you talk about the intent and the delivery. I have a wider, broader vocabulary than probably most people that speak English as a second language or use two languages regularly. So some of the way that you word things and then your approach pattern. Now, I want to actually take your marketing outlook and say it. I look at it more as a sales thing, because whether you consider yourself a salesperson or not, and so many people don't, you are, because you have to sell ideas, you have to sell change, you have to sell all of it. And with that, I also do something that I refer to as fact shaping. Now, fact shaping is about taking the truth, but shaping it in the best way possible. So it's like the marketing play. It's like there are literally an infinite number of ways that you can say pretty much anything, which means that some ways have to be way better than others. So, so Rick, a good example is the different, it's word choice. So if I tell you something is cheap, you think, oh man, it's brittle, it's breakable, it's not expensive, it's disposable. If I tell you it's affordable,
that's exactly right.
Then now, okay, there's some value here, or maybe this is a good deal. And now theoretically you can use cheap or affordable
interchangeably,
very interchangeably. So there's an approach to doing that. And that's intent. That is your intent. That's like having intention about what you're doing and who you want to hear it and how and whatever. Now, if you go to useworkshop.com, and once again, there's a link for that. And while I'm soliciting things, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by fullscale.io. I got to do that or I get in trouble. My internal communications, our internal communications will not be positive or favorable if I forget to fullscale.io. There you go. I've made that commitment. It says, you know, useworkshop.com, make every internal email a great experience. I love that. I love that, because keep in mind, as a business owner and an employee, your realities are very different, right? Mm-hmm. And your employees are never going to care about your business as much as you do. So get over that fact. And then you need to make it a good experience for them to come to work and create value, fun, you know, like a sense of worth. And then really, and the thing that we, at Fullscale, that we've always been very, very, very attentive to is purpose driven, because inherently our people are always remote. Unless your business is in the Philippines and you're employing our people, which you're not, then they're remote by nature. So they always have been. And that also creates the communication can be different, because these are people, these are contributing members of your team. I mentioned to you before we hit record that your former company Flywheel was such a great company for us to work with, because you treated our people so well, which is really important to us, because that's our biggest asset. So, you know, that intent and purpose-driven feel, like you can't make people feel like a cog in a machine. Like, so the way you present that and the way that you, you know, create purpose-driven, and honestly, the best way we do it is to encourage our team to be obsessed with our clients' success, not our success, our clients' success. And it's really pays a lot of dividends.
Yeah. You're nailing a lot of like what makes me excited about this new company and journey with Workshop is that I think that a lot of companies, the amount of money and time and investments into, you know, what I describe as external marketing, compared to how much time and intent and effort they put into inspiring their internal teams is dramatically different typically. And of course, like we could sit here all day and talk about why great cultures drive great results. But for me, it's more about how do you wake up and you realize, yes, you're right, that your employees will never care as much about your business as you do as an owner or a co-founder of a company. But I do think that you can inspire them to care deeply about your mission, your values, to understand why you actually exist, and put it in terms that like each segment of your organization can see themselves in that mission statement. So one thing that we see a lot is like, is something that I think that listeners can think about their own organization is like, where are you at on this internal communications journey? And how engaged are your teams with the content that you're pushing out, and you know, how aligned are they? We see a lot of organizations that are they're top down. They're kind of like one message fits all, you know, and that works for a while, right? You get 20 employees.
Does it work though? I mean, it might feel like it does, but I don't think it works at all unless you have, like you mentioned, a 10 person or any person number of companies, unless they are like the exact personality type and live in the exact similar reality.
Yep. So I always say, like, if you're doing that today, then just simply add the word intentionality to the front and start thinking a little bit more critically about, even in a 20 person organization, what does each segment or each individual care most about, and how can I communicate in a way that inspires them? It gets more challenging at scale. You have 200 employees, you have multiple departments, you have teams within departments, you have layers in the organization now, and segmentation becomes super important. And you have to start thinking about, if I'm going to align teams, what, generally speaking, does our finance organization care about compared to our product organization? What inspires those teams to really attack these goals? And what we see with a lot of companies is they struggle with that transition, where they've been doing a lot of like one size fits all communication. I think a question that we should all be asking is, you know, how do we break this up into smaller chunks, cascade it down effectively, and realize that the message that you just talked at all hands to 200, 500 employees, it works great, but at some point it's so watered down that it's not going to inspire anyone to like work harder for the customer or chase that goal. What you have to do is actually break it down and say, as a product organization, how do I align with that? How does my like work affect that goal? And how can I see myself in the success of the organization? One thing that we focus on with our product is like segmentation and understanding how engaged these teams are as it cascades down. So a question that I would just ask listeners to think about is, on this journey, you know, are you being intentional about the top-down stuff? Are you hitting a wall where your stuff is a little bit too watered down as far as content is concerned, and you need to start segmenting? And how are we cascading that information? And then I think the best organizations eventually get to this state of employee-led communications, which really only happens when you have what I would describe a culture of communications and an autonomy to support that, where you have leaders or employee resource groups deep in the organization understanding the value of storytelling and inspiring teams around their smaller mission, right? And I see companies that do that as the most highly engaged, highly aligned organizations, because every individual in the company understands that the people around them need to care about work more than externally, like customers and prospects. Because if we all agree on what we're trying to do, customers win, right? We end up building better products, communicating more effectively with them. But it really starts internally. And that's kind of what we're trying to solve for, is this transition from, you call it sales, which I agree, being very focused on external sales and marketing, you know, and saying, actually, if we take a lot of those principles and realize that we're doing the same for organizations internally, we can build better companies, better products, drive better results by having better aligned teams that way.
There's a key component to that, I think, when missing to everything you said, bullseye. However, I've in my own experience, there's one little twist in that, that if it's missing, reduces the effectiveness of your delivery, all of it. A lot of people, so the world's most popular radio station is WIIFM, call signals, what's in it for me. Some people will refer to that as WIFM. You'll even hear that. And that's the artful part of this kind of communication, because really, and I joke that that's what the world's most popular radio station, because everyone, you are, as a listener, you are dialed into what's in it for me. What's in it for you right now on this show? Us giving you tips, advice, input based on our experience. That's why you're listening. If we don't provide that, then the value proposition of what we're doing here just turns into two dudes talking about something that no one gives a shit about. Now, the WIFM part of it is tricky sometimes, because I really just want to encourage anyone listening to always consider that's really what people listen to. And, you know, another thing too is, and this is where it gets kind of tricky. So I mentioned earlier, I've written a couple books. One of them is called Balance Me. It's a realist guide to a successful life. And so much of where people run into problems in their life is related to communication. And that communication is absolutely influenced by your personality style compared to the person that you're speaking to. So me, I'm like a highly driven, I'm a type D or driven or dominant personality. My wife is on the other end of the graph, and she is conscientious and compassionate. She's a great listener, which, by the way, is the only personality type that can be in a relationship with me without going nuts. but with that, her delivery and what the way I say things to her, the way I sell my message or market it, has to be different. Like her personality type cares about the steps. I usually don't. I'm like, what's the result? Give me the bottom line. And I'm fast and abrupt. And I literally have to stop myself and think about that when communicating with employees. And that's whether it's face-to-face, on a Zoom call, on a video, or any of it. So, you know, give some consideration to that. And there's a lot of info out there. It's mainly like, if you want to be super simplistic about it, if you're type A, you have to have a different approach to type B, or the other way around. And knowing and being able to shape your message, it's your job to shape your message in the way that it's best received, not the other person's job to decipher it. And that's where it breaks down. That's where like the interpretation of it just feels different. And it's really, really easy if you're a type A person to blow away the type B people, because you just, and the other way around too.
So I'm probably more than that. I think I'm probably more in that category too. So I'm very, very aware. I talk more than I listen, and I probably should do better at that. And what's hard about that in a company though, is a lot of those types of conversations when you get at the deep personal level are done, you know, in one-on-ones or with managers. And it is a little bit disconnected from kind of like, you know, I would say global or large scale company alignment, right? Because what we've seen over the years, you know, Flywheel was a company that had incredibly high engagement scores, right? We focused, you mentioned me being humble about a Flywheel. One thing that I'm not humble about when I'm speaking about Flywheel is that I believe, you know, it was the best place to work in Omaha and the Midwest, maybe the country, because we spent so much effort on building a great culture. And in our engagement surveys, the results kind of definitely represented that culture. But one thing that we always saw was that, you know, no matter how good we were across the entire spectrum of these themes inside of engagement surveys, communication was always the lowest. And it would be things like, I don't quite understand why we're doing XYZ, or I don't understand how my work is rolling up to, you know, the broader goals of the company. I don't see myself in that work, you know. And those are things that, you know, as an organization, you can affect outside of one-on-ones, because I think that at some point when you have 1,000 employees, you're a large scale organization, it gets really hard for a leadership team to have that like one-on-one personal connection. So one thing that another thing that we see a lot of companies kind of struggle with is everybody has like their own goals, right? They have their own projects they're working on across the organization. A lot of them are rolling up in certain ways to the top level goals of the company. But take a company newsletter as an example. You know, we always describe that as like the website to marketing is the newsletter to internal comms. Like if you're doing nothing else, you should have a really effective, good newsletter to inform people what your company's doing every week and really bubble up the most important topics. The problem with that though, is that in large companies, they tend to just put too much stuff in it, right? You know, I think that one other
TLDR, baby, TLDR.
Exactly. Like it
too long, didn't read.
If nothing else, you know, your employees should be able to walk away each week and be able to say, what is the most important thing or two or three things at most that the company is focused on this week or this month or this quarter? And if they can't recite those things, and you're mostly disseminating that information through, you know, email because you're remote and hybrid, then simplify the message. It's really that simple. And unfortunately, that does mean that some pockets of the organization might feel like their work isn't important because they're like, I need my information in that newsletter. What that means actually is that you need to work with them to understand how their work actually does roll up to that, so they can see themselves in the top goals. But at you know, base case, if you're trying to kind of improve internal comms, certainly in a hybrid way, I would cut half of the content immediately, focus on two or three things, test your organization in pulse surveys or in one-on-ones about what's most important, and see how aligned your organization is. And if you're seeing that it's not quite aligned, then simplify further so that you can really ensure that alignment actually from the top goals or you know, mission, at least that is there. And then you can help managers in one-on-ones separately.
As I approach my 47th birthday this summer, I openly admit that I have developed a newfound respect and use of brevity.
Yes.
Part of the fact shaping mission is to simplify it. And I have a simple test that, this is kind of my own thing, but I call it the flashcard test. So whether it's the homepage of your website, an email, whatever it is, you know, if I give you a flashcard, I'll show it to you and you have like 3, 4, 5 seconds. And then I take it away. And the thing is like, show it, look at it, like literally do that for 3 seconds. Or another good flashcard test is the scrolling, like on phones, you know, like scroll past it. And here's the thing. So like on your website, would someone that saw your website for 3 seconds afterward be able to define what your company does? And you're killing it. Like, I mean, you literally make every internal email a great experience. That's what you do. Okay. Like with Full Scale, build a software team quickly and affordably. Like, and there's no noise or anything around it. It's not a bulleted list. It's like, this is our message. This is what we do. Now, look, this stuff is important for your employees too. I am overwhelmingly shocked on so many days when I talk to people that I know just in life and I'm like, well, what does your company do? Or where do you work? Or, you know, what do you do? And dude, it's like, you know, first off, 5 minutes later, I quit listening 4.5 minutes ago. And they can't tell me, you know, and that's, totally. And that's because the message is watered down. It's not direct. It's not, there's no intent with it. And, you know, that's it. So like, I mean, you talk about, okay, what does Full Scale specialize in? We use an acronym, RARE. Recruiting, assessing, retaining, employing. Not any other words. Like those are intentionally one word and that's it. And don't bury it. Cause you know, for me, like I'm an ADD person, admitted, and I wouldn't give it back, but I will look at your big block of text and just immediately it freaks my mind out. You know, like I don't even want to read it. I'm like, eh.
This is why I love, you know, thinking about internal comms as a marketing challenge, you know, and I think that, again, if you were working in internal comms 10, 15 years ago, it was probably something that was kind of dumped on your plate because you work in HR or in the people departments. Now organizations are hiring marketers to do this work, right? They're content experts. They're writing really great, succinct information. And the funny thing about our website that you bring up, and this is just starting another company after, you know, growing one pretty quickly and having lots of resources, you know, the amount of effort it takes to write that headline, like that headline is 6 months in the making. I mean, we've done nothing but simplify our marketing language to get down to the heart of what we actually do and what, frankly, what makes, you know, prospects or people that we're trying to onboard as customers let their ears perk up when we talk about it. You know, you really can only learn those things over time when you're marketing your organization. But I think internally it operates in the same exact way. And I was actually going to bring up our website because I am proud of it now at this point, because I do think the flashcard test, we'd pass. You know, I mean, you get 3 seconds to look at it and you'd have a really good idea of what we can do to help your company. And I think that internally it's as challenging, if not more, because you have hundreds, thousands of people with their own goals trying to communicate, and that's a tough thing to kind of simplify. But I think that if nothing else, that's another area to kind of like focus effort is, like I said,
there's a subtle thing on your site too. Like, so it says make every internal email a great experience. And then internal email is blue as opposed to black. Now look, that really stands out because I look at that. I'm like literally when I opened your site, oh, okay. So they have solutions for internal emails, right? Yeah. So now you got to be careful with that because your message shouldn't look like a bag of Skittles either. But yeah, I do that a lot too, man. Like I do a lot of like, you know, highlighting just a couple words italics or different things. If I have to write longer correspondence, because I want to make sure that the actionable side of things sticks out. Now you talk about the headline 6 months in the making. I want to challenge Rick and everyone listening. Go try to write your own bio as if it were going to describe you and the book about yourself. Dude, that's like 100 years in the making. I literally had the most difficult time. My editor, who Patrick Price, go to askabookeditor.com. Patrick's awesome. But yeah, he wrote it for me because like I literally could write 225 pages and I was really struggling. It was weird.
I believe that.
It's just weird.
Even in things like this where like people get asked like, hey, can you write your bio for this website or something? I struggle with that. And I every single time. It's nearly impossible. So I can definitely relate to that. But I think that generally speaking, though, you know, a couple highlights throughout this conversation is, you know, intentionality matters, the simplification matters, and really at the end of the day, like aligning teams requires those things. And the other thing that is interesting to me about, you know, starting this company again is if you take that headline off of our website, go anybody that wants to go look at it 6 months ago or actually a year ago. It's funny to watch the progression of simplification because when we started workshop, I started it with a mission statement, and that mission statement is to help provide happy Mondays to employees everywhere. I think you do that through effective communication. So we knew we were going to try to help with communication. We didn't really know what the exact problem set would be inside of that. We've evolved our product pretty dramatically. But because of that, every single month you hone in this message, and internal comms leaders should be doing the exact same thing as it relates to why the company why all these people in this company are getting up in the morning and going to work. You know, what's that mission? What's that story? How do you inspire them? No different than marketing.
You know, there's one other thing because I openly admit that I'm a salesperson. That's one of my superpowers, actually. But one of the things that I advise a lot, in fact, I actually published, I did a reel on Instagram and Facebook that got thousands of views on this. But rookie salespeople or people that aren't good at messaging and delivering communication, focus on the features of whatever it is. Now, look, this applies to internal communication. People don't care about the features. They care about the benefits said features provide. And I'll give you an example. I went through this evolution because, you know, I'm also the founder of Gigabook, and you use it to schedule to be on the show. And at first I was like, man, people love efficiency and automation. No, they don't. They want to have their life back. You're selling peace of mind. If you can sell peace of mind, you have an unlimited addressable market and a price that you can name. Because that's the WIFM. What's in it for me? What's in it for you is that, like in Gigabook's case, so we actually created a tagline. It's unchain yourself from your business.
No, that's great. Because
as we talk to people, people like, especially like the sole proprietor type, they were just like up all night. It was a mess. Kind of like you talk about internal communication, like text messages, emails, different calendars, all this, all that. All they wanted to do was a little peace of mind. So, you know, remember that if that part of your message is what is really conveyed and received, that is the most welcome thing. And internal communication. So you look at like 2 years of turbulence. Oh man, I felt at one point at the pandemic. So I was in the Philippines in March of 2020 when COVID really hit. And I actually was supposed to leave on the 14th. I ended up staying for 6 more days because I didn't feel like I didn't want to just be like, hey, let's all band together and then jump on a jet plane and go home. You know, no, so like totally. We talk about like this communication, and I felt like I was, you know, the uncertain times are the times when the best leaders show why they're the best leaders. And it's the communication and the peace of mind. And, you know, you have to, as you, if you want to build a big company and you want to be an effective leader, not unlike the better.com guy who fired 900 people on a Zoom call, you know, like if you want to be received well, you need to be able to know when you have to put the burden on your shoulders, as well as when you need to take it off and give that credit back to everyone else. Now, here's the thing. I don't care how big your company is, without the people that work there, you're just someone looking for something to do. So it's the people at your company that make it happen. You are privileged that they show up and help you make your dreams come true. So you got to take that mentality with it and also with the peace of mind. And it's like, I literally stood in front of my company and said, I can't tell you how this is going to end up because I've never done this before, much like you. But I know one thing is we're going to continue to make decisions that are based on the best interest of ourselves, our family, our clients, and our company. And our goal is to get through this without imploding everything that we've worked 2 years to build. And I can't give you all the answers right now. Now, with that transparent, open approach went 100 people, it made people feel a lot better. His peace of mind is like, okay, so the dude that I'm looking to for leadership is saying, hey, look, we got to figure this out together. I don't have all the answers. And that's okay sometimes too. You know, it's just the way it goes. Now, what is also okay, Rick, is a quick reminder that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io. Now, I like to end my episodes of the show with what I call the founder's freestyle. I say my episodes because I'm not the only host of the show. My often co-host and co-founder at Startup Hustle and Fullscale, Matt Watson, has his own weekly show that is coming out in March. He and I are going to continue to do our weekly bit together. And tune in with Lauren Conaway, the founder of Innovate Her. They just got their 5,000th member. I think that's pretty cool. Lauren's got a weekly spot. And so does Andrew Morgans, our resident expert on e-commerce and Amazon brand acceleration. He's the CEO of Marknology. Now, I mentioned the founder's freestyle, Rick. You know, here we are. I could probably continue this conversation for about 2 more hours, you know, because there's just like, it's like, hold my beer. Where do we start? Because this was, I think we really had some good stuff here. Like I said, we're kind of a surface level of understanding of it because there's so many things you can go with. But, you know, on our way out of this episode, is there anything that you wanted to bring up or some key points that we need to tap on again before we end the show?
No, I think you're right. We could talk for days, and I certainly can, about this topic. But I think that at the surface level, kind of where we're at with this episode, I would just ask everyone who is, you know, growing a company, scaling an organization, to ask themselves, how intentional are they being? That's the base case for me is if you could just be slightly more intentional, your internal comms will land better. And then if you're now in this world where you're living in a hybrid, remote kind of world, which most of us are still, you know, are you even measuring anything to understand how engaged your teams are with all of the messages you're sending out? A lot of organizations aren't. And I think that those two things alone can produce pretty awesome results. And the last thing I'll say, and this is something we talked a lot about, is you're probably spending, if you just chop up your day or your week of your entire company and ask yourselves, how much time and energy am I spending on external messages versus internal content? I bet it's lopsided dramatically. And I would argue, like you said, you know, you're chasing your dream. The only reason you get the opportunity to do that in an organization and a company you're building is the people that are there. If they're excited to be there tomorrow and work with you, you guys can chase your dreams together. You should just flip that and spend more time trying to inspire your teams around why their work matters. And good things tend to happen. So I imagine you're probably pretty lopsided. I've been in the past at times, but once you flip that switch and you spend more time worrying about how to craft this message for your team, good things tend to happen for that.
Once again, that's Rick Knutson, the CEO and founder of Workshop. Go to useworkshop.com. There's a link in the show notes. A couple of things that I wanted to follow up on. So we use the word intent, intention, intentionality, definition. If you are intent on doing something, you're determined to get it done. If you have an intent, you have a motive or a purpose. So basically, intention and intent are synonyms, but with subtle difference. So intention implies a general desire or a plan to accomplish something, while intent is a little stronger, indicating a firm resolve to get it done. So, you know, that's something that it's a noun and an adjective and according to vocabulary.com. So we'll give them a shout out. I'm not sure how vocabulary.com makes money, by the way, because I've got what I needed here. That's a different subject. Now with that, like, and they literally say the intended meaning of a communication. And that is literally their number two example here. And I think that, you know, intention is a very wide and broad term. And a lot of times, if you've ever been to a yoga class, your instructor probably calmed your mind and encouraged you to focus on your intent and to be your intention. And then you probably talked about gratitude and then realized how not flexible you are. That's at least my experience with yoga class. I'm like, wow, this is a lot harder than just stretching. But you know, I think the intent is, and you know, also like intentionality for me and the things that I mentioned, I wanted to rehash is like, do understand that people receive your message differently. Think about how you deliver it. And it can be as simple as like, is this received well by type A and type B, meaning introverted or extroverted people? And I'm telling you, there is a huge difference between the way a message is received and what's taken away from it from just those different personality styles. I do also want to encourage you to follow Rick's advice and think about, are you having lopsided communication? Now, you know, it's so easy to say stuff and not do it. And then all of a sudden you have a 250 person company and you're like, wow, okay. So I've got to really kind of look at this. Now, look, all you can do is all you can do. And if you want to build my goal as an entrepreneur is always to build something bigger than myself, which means I need more than just me. And if you aren't looking at the people that work at your company as the company's biggest assets, then you have a flawed view of your own enterprise. And, you know, you see people literally just not even walk or run, like dive straight head first off a cliff by not understanding that stuff. And then it really is a failure in communication. I'm a fan of what you're building here. I love, you know, a couple of things as well is we didn't really talk too much about the product. You can go to useworkshop.com and check it out. But, you know, I think it's cool that good software does a lot. You say it's intuitive. They have templates. They have recommendations. They'll even help you design some of it. So here's the thing is like lean on the expertise of someone else knowing and understanding. You don't have to figure it all out. Like there's a fill in the blank for this stuff, folks. So, you know, like that's, I think the beauty of the world of technology and the internet is you can harvest like all these things and, you know, like, and not have to figure all of it out on your, you know, yourself. So I really like what you're building. I'm amazed that you guys are this far along after a year. And you clearly have a grasp on the importance of this. And like I said, for those of you listening, don't overlook it because crap communication is usually prevalent in a crap company. So don't be crappy. I'm out of here, Rick. See you next time.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.